On today's episode of the Bolts Broadcast, we give our initial thoughts on the ESPN broadcast, Seattle's debut, and how the Bolts looked in Game 1. Stay tuned. Season 3, Episode 4 of the Bolts Broadcast. Mike Mitchelson here, Chase Croshaw with me as always. Chase, I saw a little nervousness in your face. We didn't write Stay Tuned as the intro little outline there, but I still got it. Don't worry.
Yeah, I'm still muted.
Chase is still muted. All right, there we go. Chase, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. Aside from last night, the game didn't really go as planned, but hey, there's no worries whatsoever. It's game one of 82. We're going to be just fine. But
real quick, before we move on, the only thing I do want to say, it's slightly worrisome just because that was our first opening day loss in 7 years, I think.
And it doesn't help that Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin weren't playing. But we'll be just fine. Only game one of 82. And Chase, I told you it's 5 o'clock somewhere. I made myself a little drink. You weren't partaking. Why is that?
Because it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a Wednesday, and I got work to do when I get back home.
But it's 5 o'clock somewhere. Don't forget about that.
Yeah, I ain't drinking on the job.
I will happily drink on the old Bolts broadcast as well as the WNP podcast. We're doing that right after this show. But like we said in the intro, going to be talking a lot of stuff. Seattle, going to be talking about the Tampa game. ESPN Day One thoughts after the commercial break. Going to be talking about some rookies because there's a lot more than we initially expected to be. And then a couple of signings and just roster move situations overall. So we'll talk about that afterwards. But last night, Seattle made their official debut. I was a little upset that it was in Vegas. I'm not going to lie. I was hoping it was going to be a home game for them. But I still liked what they looked like. The white jerseys looked great. The team came out a little flat, but they brought it back. And then the game winner, there was some controversy around it. Was it a kick? Was it not? But anyways, what were your thoughts on Seattle?
It was a kick. And like 100% definitely was a kick. I will not hear otherwise, but...
Well, Biz doesn't agree with you.
I don't care. So game one, it's done and the Bucks doesn't matter. You know, when Vegas played their first game, they also played on the road. I remember being very upset about that same time around. They played in Dallas, Vegas, and ended up beating them, and then they played their, you know, home opener with the whole, you know, in the wake of the Vegas shooting thing.
Yep.
So now Seattle, they're going to be playing their home opener coming up in a little bit. They have a little bit of a road stretch, not till, you know, October 23rd against Vancouver. That's kind of combining some things there.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so they've got 5 road games. And then they can, you know, finally get home, which kind of sucks, but that means they just, you know, get more home games kind of condensed down the road too. So like that'll be kind of cool.
I feel like Seattle, if they were going to be on the road for game one, Vegas would be the best possible place. I like this idea of a rivalry between the two expansion teams, Seattle and Vegas. I know they're trying to push the Vancouver versus Seattle rivalry, but the rivalry I'm really invested in is this Seattle versus Vegas one. It won't be a rivalry for a little bit because Vegas at the top of the NHL right now, top 5 team. Seattle, we're not really sure where they sit. There's some thoughts that they could be in the middle vying for a playoff spot. Some people think otherwise, but the rivalry, not really there yet, but I hope that's the rivalry we look forward to, not the Seattle versus Vancouver one.
Well, the Seattle-Vancouver one I look forward to more than Seattle-Vegas, to be honest.
It'll be closer, but...
It makes more sense. There's a lot of Vancouver fans that already live in Seattle because there hasn't been Seattle hockey in such a long time at the highest level. So there's a lot of fans there. And, you know, a lot of those people, they made that transition. They're like, the Vancouver Canucks suck shit in the nicest way possible. And we're going to go become Seattle fans, be part of something new. So Vancouver lost some fans in Seattle. They're not happy about that. I like that kind of battle there. I do want to see a Seattle-Vegas rivalry, too, just being the two kids of the league and Vegas kind of dominating from the beginning. Because I don't think Seattle will have that same success. So it'll kind of be like big brother bullying little brother a little bit, kind of like, you know, we do with the Florida Panthers. But I hope we kind of get a rivalry out of both.
I get the proximity thing, and there's a lot of proximity rivalries, Tampa-Florida, Pittsburgh-Philly. But I think it just... for me, at least, makes so much more sense because they're the two newest teams, and the proximity is still across a country border. So that's why I prefer Seattle-Vegas, but I get the sentiment on Vancouver fans transitioning to be a Seattle fan.
I don't know the actual numbers, but it's like a two-hour drive. So it's across the border, but like when it's a non-COVID world, it's literally just like a two-hour drive.
Yeah, but going through the border, even pre-COVID, it still took like a half hour just to get to the border.
Well, yeah, but at the end of the day, it is what it is.
So it's like a 7-hour trip.
Yeah, but then it's like a 14-hour trip at minimum, probably even a lot more. I don't even know how far away Seattle and Vegas are from each other. It's probably a lot more driving than that, to be honest.
Okay, but tell me this. Would Seattle fans rather go spend their time in Vancouver or spend their time in Vegas?
Vancouver's a beautiful city. I've never been. I want to go, but, like, you know, you can go to Seattle or you can go to Vancouver and enjoy the nice weather, enjoy the scenery, or you can go to Vegas and lose a lot of money.
I'm going to be honest, I don't know if there's really nice weather when it's hockey season up in Vancouver.
It's really not bad. They don't get as much snow as the rest of Canada.
I mean, Michigan doesn't get as much snow as Minnesota, but it doesn't mean it's great.
I mean, I don't know the average snowfall in Vancouver, but like I would happily live in Vancouver in the winter. Just put it that way. It'd be sick.
All right, you can move there. I'll stay right here. But let's talk about Tampa. They raise their banner. They had a great pregame ceremony. You're going to have to talk about your thoughts on it. I wasn't able to check it out because my little brother had a football game at the big stadium. They weren't at the middle school stadium. They were at the high school stadium. So I was not able to check it out. How was it? Very similar to last year's?
It was, I mean, like, you know, they go out there for game one of the regular season that, you know, teams kind of nowadays, they used to skate to the blue line, but now nowadays, they skate to the center ice, you know, form a little circle around the logo, around the, like, the center ice circle, and then do that, and then they just kind of raise the banner kind of behind them. It wasn't anything, like, too spectacular, but yeah, like, it was just a solid, like, banner. It's still a great time to be had, still a great ceremony, you know?
It probably would have been a lot better in person. I think most things like that would be better in person, but on TV, not a bad thing for the team to be able to raise that and stuff. And it was nice that they were able to actually do it on game one, because last year, if we remember, weren't able to have fans right away, so they had to wait to raise their banner a little bit down the line. Yeah. So
yeah, it was definitely good to do it. And it was like, I know they wanted to wait last year because like they wanted fake fans in the building and stuff, so it's good to have a full house be able to do it this year.
For sure. NHL on ESPN, what are our thoughts during day one? We've got ESPN last night, obviously, but we're going to see some TNT getting in the mix. What were your initial thoughts with the NHL back on ESPN?
Well, the NHL and ESPN theme song is back, which is great. It's a classic tune, so I'm happy about that.
For some people, I thought it was really cool in that little video where they showed the newer players, and they were like, what, is that football? Yeah. Like, what is that?
Yeah, it was funny. That whole intro video, it was pretty cool. It's a six-minute-long video. You can find it on Twitter, Instagram, wherever, probably. You know, it was all right. I wasn't, like, wowed by them. You know, they kind of struggled. Like, they were talking at the wrong times. They didn't really communicate extremely well. You know, there was points where, like, Ray Ferraro was just getting cut off in the Tampa broadcast. I don't remember the female who was the ringside reporter in the game one. But, like, there were times where she was speaking, you know, and then it just cut to commercial or she tweaked early. It wasn't very coordinated. And then the camera work, too, I was not a big fan of. You know, like, I like the classic broadcast camera. Then they went to, like, the overhead kind of, like, drone-style, like, free-roam camera. It's too far from the ice. You can't see it as well. Like, you see way better from the broadcast camera. So if they're going to use that, they need to get lower to the ice.
Yeah, and I was really focusing on the actual, like, broadcast look at things. Like, the intermission shows I was really focused on. And then also focused on when they went up to the broadcast booth. And I was very interested because I thought the intermission setup looked really nice. It looked great. But Barry Melrose, I love Barry Melrose, but I felt like he kind of brought the level of the intermission report down, at least last night. Get better for sure. But last night, it was a little off for me when it came to Barry Melrose. Like I said, the set was awesome. But then when we went into the booth, there was just like a crinkled like curtain behind them as like the set. And I'm just like, that looks a little weird. So I don't know. You had a really nice setup on the intermission report. Not so great one in the broadcaster booth. It was your highs and lows and it was all right. They'll get better.
The little transition video, like this is my favorite part of the whole broadcast. I think the little transition video where it was like a hockey puck that came across the screen, said NHL on ESPN. I thought that like that graphic was awesome. That was like literally my favorite part about the whole thing. The rest is slightly underwhelming. Just, you know, the culmination of what you said, what I said, you know, really kind of hit on everything. I want to go back to the Barry Melrose thing real quick. Yeah, like at one point it was just funny because they were talking about hockey in the state of Florida and how it like, is growing, getting better. You know, a good example is the Florida Alliance AAA team. They're a really legit program. They sent a couple kids to the NCDP this year. And he's, yeah, you know, I lived in Florida for a couple years, you know, watching these kids play, great, blah, 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 blah. You know, he failed to mention that he coached the Tampa Bay Lightning because he was such a train wreck and was healthy scratching first overall pick, Steven Stamkos. So he thought he needed to work out during the game, even though he scored like every game he played in. So, you know, if you failed to mention that part. So I don't think Barry Melrose is like cut out to be in a whole cast of NHL analysts. When he was like the only guy, him and John Buchkoff were the only two NHL guys on ESPN. That's fine because like they got such a little spotlight, but now they're going to give me more spotlight. There's way better minds than him. Like, I don't think he's going to last very long.
There were a couple moments when he started saying something, and I'm just sitting there like, I'm sorry, what did you just say?
Yeah, brutal. And he looked old.
Yeah. So, and I think the best part about NHL and ESPN, up to this point, in my opinion, the commercials. There's actually commercials about the games. We saw them advertising on, was it Monday Night Football? They were advertising that. Hockey is back on ESPN, making a big deal out of it. And so I love to see that because we've talked about it so many times. The NHL doesn't advertise, but ESPN, they certainly do. So they will kick the NHL into shape when it comes to that standpoint.
Yeah, and it's great because I'm drawing a blank on the dude's name right now, but he did Monday Night Football as well as the NHL game. And, like, I can't remember his name, but I love, like, his play-by-play. And so, you know, I thought that was cool. It's just like the whole, like the marriage that it's going to be the NHL ESPN and the potentials that it has, you know, for a cross sport, like platform marketing, I guess, if that's the way I want to use, you know, whether it be like advertising the games during Monday Night Football or just having those announcers do the different games and talking about, you know, the next upcoming game during the broadcast. Like it's just going to be great for the league overall. They just really need to kind of fine tune their things. I know it was their first broadcast for the NHL in, you know, 20 years pretty much.
Yeah.
But they definitely just need to kind of fine tune their stuff a little bit.
And I think it's great to be advertising during that Monday Night Football slot because hockey is the closest to football when it comes to the national four sports and their physicality in the actual game. Yes. So I think that a lot of football fans could see some great previews and be like, oh, this actually looks interesting. I haven't given hockey too much of a chance. Maybe I will now.
Yeah, and one more thing with the ESPN. So Justin Bieber was narrating some stuff, like some of like the little videos that they did that they're showing. And I saw people online complaining, like, why is Justin Bieber a part of this? Like, what does he have to do with the NHL? I'm like, what do you mean, why is he a part of this? Like, I saw it might have been Sarah Sivian, who is a beat writer down in Carolina. She... I want to say it was her mate. I could be wrong, though. But I think whoever it was, they tweeted out a screenshot of Justin Bieber's Twitter account with his followers and the NHL's Twitter account with his followers. And Justin Bieber literally has 116 million more followers. Why wouldn't you want to have a partnership like that? A Canadian singer, one of the biggest stars in the world, who loves hockey and can just promote. Like, he can mention hockey once a month. Again, mention hockey once a year, and it'll do more marketing than the NHL could ever do themselves.
Absolutely. I think it was a great idea. I mean, we've seen Justin Bieber on the ice with the Toronto Maple Leafs before, so.
And he's good friends with all the Maple Leafs guys, too. Like him and Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner hang out all the time.
I mean.
Isn't that cool?
it is. And, I mean, when you're an NHL player, you probably don't feel very dwarfed when it comes to the salary point of view, but hanging out with Justin Bieber, he's making a lot.
Yeah, no shit.
So it's like, hey, Biebs, you got drinks tonight?
Yeah, well, what a friend. And that also reminds me, did you see the, in Carolina, Harry Styles was golfing with Martin Akash and another Hurricane, can't remember who.
No, I did not.
How random is that?
That is very random.
But, like, apparently, Akash said that Harry Styles is, like, the nicest, like, most humble person you ever met. Like, he was asking him about, like, hockey and about the season coming up, all this stuff, and, like, they're, like, friends now.
How did they meet?
I don't know. I have no idea.
That's my biggest question.
I have zero idea. So random, but pretty cool.
Yeah. All right, let's move into the Bolts. They had their first game last night. It didn't go as planned. A 6-2 victory for Pittsburgh. However, three of Pittsburgh's goals came from an empty net. The team started off super slow. I think that's the fairest point we can say is they were slow, didn't have the energy that Pittsburgh had, and they made it very interesting in those last 5 minutes when they were able to score two goals with the empty net, and Pittsburgh, they were able to, you know, put in some empty net goals. But either way, the first 55 minutes really seemed like it lacked energy from the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, they were struggling in that ending, as you kind of talked about there. It was really weird. It was just a weird hockey game. But, you know, shout out to Brian Boyle. Like the legend himself. I'll tip my hat to him and the Pittsburgh Penguins on that aspect. You know, didn't play last year. Went to World Championships, played pretty well, got his name back on the radar with NHL teams. You know, he beat cancer a couple years ago, as we all remember. Comes out, scores a goal off of a sick pass from Sam Lafferty. It was a sick sauce. But, yeah, it really was just kind of Pittsburgh's game, really, through the first 55 minutes, as you mentioned. Tampa only looked good when they had the goalie pulled leading up to their goals. After they scored the goal, they looked like shit again. So it's not, like extremely worrisome. It's game one, two Stanley Cup seasons, you know, shorter off seasons for the Lightning. So, you know, you just hope that down the road they can kind of figure it out. You know, they had slow starts the previous two seasons as well. It's not the end of the world. I think we'll be just fine.
And the Danton Heinen goal, the first goal of the game, it really showed kind of the lack of stability when it came to the actual like practice and everything that's going on, because Vasilevsky came out of the net. He tried to, you know, stop a pass from Jeff Carter, and it ended up just leaving a wide open net for Danton Heinen. And just right now, team's not in the full groove, and that's not that big of a deal. If it comes down to 20 games from now and we're still looking similar and we've got like a, I don't know, 6-14 record, then maybe we can be concerned. But as of right now, it's game one. It's not that big of a deal. We'll be just fine. John Cooper's got the boys going, and we'll be very happy by the end of the season.
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to go to a quick commercial break, say hi to our friends over at DraftKings, and after that, going to be talking about some rookies and some roster moves. Another week of the NFL season means another shot to win big at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet just $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. The last 0-0 tie in the NFL was in 1943, so I'd say this is a no-brainer. If Sportsbook isn't available yet in your state, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with the DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use promo code THPN, throw down $1 on any NFL game, and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. That's promo code THPN this week at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only, minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Shout out to our friends over at DraftKings. Make sure that anytime you're betting, whether it be hockey, football, basketball, baseball, whatever you're doing, make sure to go use DraftKings. But, Chase, we now move on to talk about rookies. And, boy, oh, boy, we made the prediction maybe a month ago that not a lot of rookies would be seen in the lineups of teams this year in the NHL. That didn't happen to be the case, at least for opening night rosters. There's a lot more rookies than we thought.
Yeah, there's always bound to be like guys that, you know, rookies make team guys as surprise in training camp. We just really thought that this draft class would probably be nobody. Then from the 2020 class as well, there really would not be too many. But, I mean, a lot of names just kind of really surprised came out of nowhere. So, you know, starting, I'm just going to kind of rate off a few names of guys that I had really not thought, like going into training camps, we're going to make their teams, but here they are. There's a lot more rookies in this. There's just a couple names. So Cole Sillinger in Columbus, you know, the first round pick this year, he's apparently going to play like top line minutes for them. And like, I still don't think he's ready he's not going to last more than 9 games, to be honest. Mason McTavish in Anaheim, someone I could see sticking around, but you know, who knows? William Eklund in San Jose, a guy that I definitely could see sticking around. He didn't seem like too far of a stretch to make the NHL right away, but it just didn't seem like extremely likely. Pavel Dorofeev in Vegas came over last season from Russia. I thought he was probably going to start the American League, get a call up later on this year, but sure enough, here he is. Hendricks Lapierre in Washington. I thought he was going to need one more year of development. Seth Jarvis, Carolina, kind of same deal, but Seth Jarvis is a pretty legit guy. Could have been a Toronto pick, but, you know, they traded away that first-round pick in order to take Patrick Marleau off their hands, and Carolina gets a free future star player in Seth Jarvis. Dawson Mercer in New Jersey. That one, you know, I'm not a huge Dawson Mercer guy. He's not a bad hockey player by any means. I just question his ceiling. I feel like another year, a junior where he could dominate might have helped. Jake Neighbors in St. Louis, that one came out of nowhere to me. I thought he had no chance. I thought he was really going to need like two more years of development. And then Sampo Ranta in Colorado, seventh round pick 2018. Someone who was on very few people's radars and a guy I knew about, but never even like really had much second thought about. Sure enough, he made the roster for Colorado. We'll see how much he plays. I don't know, but you know, that's just a few names on the bunch of rookies that have made it.
A bunch of young names to look out for. And I want to go back to that Seth Jarvis thing. You talked about how they gave up the pick in the Patrick Marleau trade and Carolina got Seth Jarvis. Very similar to when they traded away. Who was the kid they gave to Pittsburgh for Jared McCann?
Philip Hollander.
Yeah. They gave up Philip Hollander and I think like a sixth round pick for Jared McCann just to let him go into the expansion draft where Seattle took him. So Toronto's going to Toronto as always, but we will now move on to the Matthias Ekholm contract situation. He signs a 4-year extension at $25 million. Not a bad deal for Matthias Ekholm. There we go. Matthias?
I always call Matthias.
There you go.
I don't even know what's the proper way. But, yeah, you know, 4 years, $25 million, it comes out to about 6.25 a year. Good value. He's just a good, reliable top four defenseman. Solid offensively, solid defensively. Doesn't really do enough wrong. I don't have an issue with the price at all. It makes sense. Just still Nashville needs to figure out that you know, whole group up front. They've never been able to figure out their forward group. They always have a great decor. You know, Ekholm's a big piece of that. But, you know, maybe spend some more money up front.
Yeah, and they tried to get this done for a while now before the initial roster locks and everything, but they were eventually able to get that done, so really nice for them there. Now we move on to a young player that I know you and I actually really like and were positive that he was going to be an impact on the New York Rangers last season. Didn't happen to be the case. Then this season, he doesn't show up to Hartford, and now he's being allowed to seek a trade. What's happening with the Vitaly Kravtsov situation?
Yeah, for whatever reason, he didn't make the Rangers. Don't tell me why, or don't tell me, ask me why, because I couldn't tell you why. That's the word I'm looking for. It makes no sense. He physically is ready to play. He can handle it skill-wise, of course. It's kind of another Elias Anderson situation. It seems like, you know, Kravtsov at one point, like, it seemed like a reach at ninth overall. Then after a year, it's looking like, oh, he might actually be one of the best players outside the NHL. And then he comes over, and it's just never been able to figure out with the Rangers. I think if he goes elsewhere, he's going to have a better opportunity. He was given permission to seek a trade. I don't know what's out there. You know, maybe a team that's still younger, maybe, or like a new team like Seattle, maybe a younger team like Buffalo or Detroit, Ottawa, maybe one of those guys can trade for him. I really don't imagine like a contender trading for him, though.
And if Seattle goes out and gets Kravtsov, then they bring in him and Alex Barré-Boulet, who we talked about last episode, that Tampa, they put him on waivers. We weren't really sure why. We knew that Tampa wanted him to get down to Syracuse, hoping that no one picked him up. That wasn't the case. Seattle was able to scoop him. And that's one of the spots that we don't mind him going to, although we would have much preferred he stayed here.
Yeah, if he's going to, you know, leave our roster, like, he might as well go somewhere he has an opportunity to maybe do something. And Seattle is that team, you know, everybody has an equal opportunity to do something there, so hopefully, you know, it works out. Wish him the best of luck. If not, he gets sent back down and Tampa's able to claim him, then
that'd be huge.
Yeah. Then if you reclaim a player that gets taken from you off of waivers, normally how it works on waivers is you get claimed, you stay on the roster for 30 days. But if you reclaim your own player, then they can go right to the American League. So if that were the case, then it means if he has sent down again, clearly he's not ready. Tampa could get him back, send him right to Syracuse.
That'd be huge. That'd be awesome. All right, well, that's going to do it for the show. We're going to move on to hockey name of the day. Okay. I had my WNP notes down here, so I was like, what is all this? But no, we're good. All right, we got Almaz Kaibulin?
Almaz Kaibulin. Yes, sir. Close enough. Our boy, Almaz, is a 6'4", 159-pound twig of a goalie. playing over in Russia in the U18. All I have is goals against numbers from last year. No save percentage or anything like that. But through 9 games in the U18s, a 1.57 goals against. It's pretty good. It's not a high scoring like hockey played over in Russia. A lot of those leagues tend to be lower scoring. So those are good numbers, but they can also be slightly misleading. Like, you know, it could end up being real. I mean, like, really, he might put up like the low two somethings if he was playing junior over here in the U.S. But, you know, a solid goalie, not someone who's really on the radars or anything. He probably has some sort of KHL contract with Kazan. That's where he played his U18s. So, you know, he might get an opportunity down the road there, but we'll see.
You almost tricked me. I so badly wanted to say Cabby Boolin.
I know. That's kind of why I picked it.
Didn't happen, though. I was able to get it. But that's going to do it for the show. Chase, if you could lead him out with an outro. And, hey, big games coming for Tampa Bay. Don't worry. First game is not the end of the season.
Absolutely. As always, I want to thank you guys for listening. If you want to check us out on Patreon Sports, we'd really appreciate it. Nothing required, but just an option that you have. If you want to follow us on Twitter, at Bulls Broadcast, that's at Bulls Broadcast. You can follow the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter, at HockeyPodNet. That's at HockeyPodNet. While you're at it, follow WMP on Twitter at WMP Sports Pod. That's WMP Sports Pod. That way you're going to get all the content you need between those platforms. Go to thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. Find all the podcasts right there. Boom, click the logo. It's an easy peasy lemon squeezy. Wherever you're listening, rate us 5 stars. Send us your questions, comments, concerns. Whatever you do, do not forget to use code THPN when you sign up for DraftKings.
Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you next time.